Okay, my name is Bill Van Van Schoten. I'm with Yui Zhang. Did I say that correctly?
Yui Zhang.
Yui Zhang.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to mess that up. But that's okay. It's October 9th, 2000. I'm in his office at the Weinberger Center, Cancer Center, in Chapel Hill, in order to begin the first session of the interview that he's been very nice to allow us to perform, to conduct today. We'll start with when and where were you born?
June 5th, 1958, in a city called Nanchang, spelled as N-A-N-C-H-A-N-G, city of Nanchang in China, the south part.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about that city? What is that? What is that city like?
Yeah, it's a city about the size of, let me see, Charlotte, if I may. And geographically, it's also similar, and it's not on the coast, but it's not very far away. But it's a pretty poor city.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The whole province is relatively poor. Yeah. And that was not a good time in China back in 1958.
Right.
And obviously, I don't remember anything. But from what I heard from my parents and from what I read in the books or newspapers, and those are pretty bad years in the modern history of China.
Right.
Yeah. The whole country was suffered two things. One is disaster from the, I think it's a drought.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and another thing is the political, and the government, especially led by the Communist Party, was really messing around.
Mm-hmm.
And so combined, really causing a very bad situation for the next 3 years, 59, 60, and 61. Those were the famous three, what do they call it? Three bad years or three disaster years.
Right.
And a lot of people died, famine during those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so part of that, I've heard, was natural, but a part of it, again, was due to this misadministration.
Right, and one is a natural disaster, and the different area for different reasons. I don't know what was the natural in the southern part where I lived. But politically, the government, the Communist Party, and they start this so-called, what's it called? Something, the long jump movement or something along those lines.
Oh, the great leap forward.
Yeah, that's what it's
go.
Called.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, my first name, and if translated directly, is Jump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's because that's the year I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so in China, and a lot of people, when they heard my name, they would guess, and I was born in 1958.
Right.
Yeah, the great leap, that's right, yeah. Right, that's just totally, and not follow the rule or law of how the economy should be should be governed. Yeah. So combined effect of natural disaster and the misguidance from the top,
right,
really causing the terrible situation for the next few years.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. And I don't remember anything myself, but from what I heard from my parents, especially from my mother, it was pretty bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of your earliest memories of growing up in Nanchang City?
I try to see what is the earliest thing I remembered. And it's difficult now to tell what you actually remembered or what you've been told repeatedly by your parents.
Right.
Yeah. The early days was not very good. And I really had a very strong family, even though the situation was so tough. Was pretty tough actually. From what my parents told me, I think it was like 1 week after I was born, my father was almost sued into the prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
There was this famous movement called the anti-rightist movement, started from 57.
Oh, right. I've heard of that.
It was started by the Chairman Mao and the leadership of the Communist Party. From what you read from the newspaper, they said initially they have this good intention.
Mm-hmm.
They invite intellectuals to criticize them,
right,
to make comments, make suggestions, and about the leadership, about where countries should go along mm-hmm. those lines.
To criticize the Communist Party.
Or the government.
Right.
Right. And both the central government as well as the local government. Right. So my father was one of those people being invited.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only like 3 years after graduate from college. And back to early 1950s, the graduate from college was not very common because not many people can attend college. Well, he made some comments, and the funny thing is, I keep asking him nowadays. I say, exactly what did you say got you into trouble? He said, be honest, I can't remember the specific what I say, but certainly was not anything threatening government or anti-communist, anything on those lines. It must be something pretty specific about changing the increased efficiency of the government along those lines.
Right.
But that's enough getting into trouble.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He was not making any outrageous comments or anything like that. It is because the whole government or the Communist Party felt being threatened because the comments or criticism, a lot of them also pretty widespread or critical. They probably feel they're being threatened somehow. So the whole thing was turned around. Instead of inviting them to give comments, they let them speak and then say, well, a lot of them are making the comments or starting of the government or anti-communist. So the whole thing become like just let them to speak and then say, well, I caught you.
Exactly, brought them out.
I brought them out. That's what, exactly what happened to my father. Yeah. And so early, the late 57 or early part of 58, and he said, and the whole thing seems to be going pretty well. And pretty happy making his comments. It looks like there's a leadership and local government coming down to listen to you. But then in the spring of 58, things start turning around. And so water come in, and during my mother's pregnancy, or at the time when I was born. So 6 days after I was born, and then he was handed a piece of papers, and he was stripped all his profession and his job. He lost his job, and he was sent to, supposed to be sent to the prison.
Wow. That's pretty severe.
Well, it's very severe. Almost got him killed. He said he was sent to this one of the hard labor camp. And he can hardly do anything because he was pretty thin, pretty slim, and is one of these people.
Right.
Staying in the office, writing things, and he was studying forest at the time. Yeah, it's actually the technique. People are not really involved in the management. Actually.
Sorry, just to be clear, he was studying. It was at forestry.
Forest.
Oh, just forests.
Yeah, studying forest, like and the wood development, forest development.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, along those lines. It's a very technical job, and it's not managing anybody or in some kind of position to do any kind of management, right? So after, I don't know how long he actually stayed in the camp, but he was discovered by one of his previous boss. And when he was working in the city, oh, by the way, the city of Nanchang was the capital of Jiangxi province. That's where he was working.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so that guy said, man, you could be die here. And so he dig him out. He said, and if you stay here working like this, and you're not going to survive. So they relocated him to another farm. So that's relatively less severe than the labor camp. Otherwise, he will not be able to survive.
Right.
So that's my father, and I didn't get to see him in the next 4 years.
Wow. So from what, 57?
58. 58 to almost 60, 62 or 63.
Boy, that is a long time.
It's a long time. I don't remember my father at all. And all I remember, I guess, and a lot was from what I've been told rather than what I actually remembered. Because after he left, I stayed with my mother. So my mother was also sent out, and not stripped her position or job or anything, but it's not a whole lot different. So she was sent to a county government and doing the counting. So she was doing the counting for insurance company in the capital city of Jiangxi, and it's the same city with my father. But after that, and she stayed for a couple more months, and then she was sent to a local the county office and working as an accountant. My mother said when I was just only a few months old, she just took me and a few briefcase and just left the city where they lived for the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of good memory.
Was her leaving now punishment partly because of?
Was not directly, but obviously was associated with my father.
Yeah.
They what officially they told her that and that we relocate you for another job. Yeah, but and understanding is that it's a kind of the punishment.
Right.
Yeah. So I lived with my mother for the first almost 5 years, and and the three of us, my mother, myself, and my grandma, mother's mother. So early days, what I really remember was not the hometown I was born in, instead was this small city called Gao'an, and where I spent my first 5 years with my mother. My grandma died when I was 2 years old, I believe.
And what was her name?
Who? My grandmother?
Yeah.
I actually don't remember her name.
Okay.
And I know her... No, I don't think anybody actually told me what her name. I don't even know. In the early days, those old Chinese women, they actually, once they get married, they simply just use their husband's last name. They don't have their own name.
Right.
Yeah, in many cases. Yeah. And they don't have a job, obviously. They just stay home, they're taking care of the kids. Can never go out for a job for anything. Yeah. And only vaguely I remember my grandma was short, very thin.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember anything about her. Yeah.
This is a good segue, though, because this is a good transition. We'll get to, you know, the 5 years that you spend pretty much fatherless. But if you could maybe discuss a little bit about your father's background, his family, I guess.
So my father was born in a family of in the farm or present, and in the countryside, and outside of Nanchang City, about 50 miles away.
Right.
It depends what standard you use. If you use the standard of today, and it was pretty poor families, but the Tom and his family had some a small piece of farm or land, and they can survive, they can feed their kids, and they're relatively better than their other peoples in the same village.
Right.
My grandfather, according to my father, and actually has small piece of a business, is just shopping or sell something. I don't know exactly what he was selling at that time. I never see my grandfather. Because my grandfather and my great-grandfather, they both died in 3 months apart when my father was 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty devastating on him.
Yeah.
And my father was just married and still young and have not even gone to college yet. And before that point, they seemed to be fine working. But after that, and both his father and his grandfather died in their early 40s and late 50s. So that really devastated my grandma and my father, because my father was only male left.
Really?
Yeah. And in those days, if you don't have any strong male in the family, and it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Those early days, the female, they don't make much decisions, and they can't really help anything outside the families. Yeah, even though you still have some properties, but that is not gonna last for long. Everyone knows, especially my father didn't know anything about how to farm.
Right.
And he was sent to schools and the high schools, so he didn't know anything about the farm.
Yeah,
so that was pretty difficult. So the one of the most difficult moment according to my father was, and they have to sell some farms in order to bury my grandfather and great grandfather. In the early days, the selling your property is considered something very, very bad, or you are so incapable, very shameful, because and the success of family is measured by how much property, how much farm can you continue to accumulate, but now you are selling them. So that was very, very devastating for him. And so for that part, and he was quit school for high school and stopped for a few years, and they would not enter the college after graduating from high school. He tried to get some kind of job so he can make some income to support the family.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was 2 or 3 years. So that was 1947 or 48 or 49. I don't know which year.
Oh, wow. So just before the end of the
war. You actually know the history pretty well. Right.
Yeah.
So that was the country really in the tumor. And they really tangled the lot unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
Going on across the country,
right.
The Communist Party is just taking over, and from the Nationalist Party control. So the whole country was really changing dramatically. So I think a year or two later, and the Communist Party take over the country, mm-hmm. and then my father's family was labeled as so-called the landlord, direct translation, which means you have a piece of land,
right.
But landlord was bad at the time.
Yeah. You didn't want to be a landlord.
It was, yeah. And then that means that the whole family just lost all their properties, all their land, anything. So
they lost it because eventually, is that land collectivized?
Yeah, just basically stripped off.
Yeah.
Stripped off and give it to the poor people. And that's across the country, not just to their own family.
Right, yeah. And they received nothing in return, right? The land was just taken from them.
No, just like that. It's very simple. Just then your whole property, your whole land, and your house, everything just was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, overnight. Mm-hmm. So overnight, and then my grandma almost become like a homeless. Yeah, and so she can only stay with her relative, and they still gave her a small house she can stay. And so my father now really have to and work in himself somehow, supporting himself.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, the time married with my father for a couple of years, was the one actually supporting my grandma.
Really?
Yeah. And she got a job at a local insurance company, and through my uncle, she helped and start learning something, because my mother couldn't afford to go to college, go to school. Not, she was not able to afford, is because traditionally women don't go to college in China.
Right.
So she was not attending any school, and she actually learned from my uncle, and she graduated from college, mm-hmm. and he was the one really taught her some very basics. And for that, my mother, and up to nowadays, still remember those days. He said, if not for my uncle,
right,
and she would not have any skill to make a living.
Yeah. Right.
But things changed so dramatically. And because of the limited amount of the knowledge she learned from my uncle, she was able to go out and looking for a job, and got a small job and support my grandma,
mm-hmm.
while my father was just basically don't know what he can do. And so I think it was 1949 or 50s, and my father had to take part exam, and finally he applied for college. So he was accepted by a few ones, but he picked the one at a place called Wuhan University.
Sorry, what was it called?
Wuhan, Wuhan University.
Okay.
And the reason was pretty simple, because that university, then they support his tuition, and also give him some stipend so he can live by himself.
Oh, how did he get that?
He just applied a number of the ones. The right. Wuhan University was not the best one he got in, and he got in another university, it's even more prestigious in China,
mm-hmm.
but he could not go to it. Yeah.
Right.
And the Wuhan University was a public school at the time. They take them, and the student can live there and support their living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was not a whole lot, but to him that time was very important.
Right.
So I think that was probably 50 or 51. So finally he got into college. Yeah. And he had the first few years, and that was from 51 to 58. And he said he had a few good years.
Mm-hmm.
Starting college, finally the life become more or less normal or stabilized.
Yeah.
And after 54. I think he graduated from 54, 55 from college, and then got this job right away in Nanchang City, the capital of the province, and reunited with my mother after graduating from college.
Mm-hmm.
Had 3 good years together, and then it's over.
Chaos. So when he was going to college, he didn't live with your mother then?
No, they separate from, gosh, that's pretty long, from 50s.
Mm-hmm.
All the way until 55 after he graduated. Yeah, not only they separate
right.
when he was in the college, but before that, and he was just traveling around anywhere he can find a job.
Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh. And he did several different jobs as a teacher or as a helper and several things. And I don't remember what else he did, and they tried to find a way to support himself. And mm-hmm. he was not even allowed to support his family back then.
Really?
Yeah. Well. Your family was a landlord, is the enemy of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mother was okay, because she was poor relatively. And so when she made a living, and then she wanted to send some money back to my grandma,
mm-hmm.
but she has to get permission from the government. She can do that, because my grandma was labeled as an enemy of the
epitome of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want to do that, and you have to get the permission. Mm-hmm. So that early days were not so bad. The Communist Party only started taking over, so people was not drawing the line so clearly. They still consider this is your mother-in-law, and that you're supporting her is reasonable. So right. They didn't have to do that. Yeah, so finally, my grandma actually died in a relatively peaceful situation, even though after this chaos for a few years. Mm-hmm. And so, but she was died in relatively peaceful. So my mother taking care of all the barrier while my father was away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was the few years, and that they were for 4 or 5 years they were not living together, and they are pretty much just on their own.
Right. Yeah. But from about maybe 1955 to 58, they're together.
Oh, that was briefly. Good time. Yeah. They actually remember a lot of those good days. And well, I remember when I grew up, and they were taking me back to Nanchang, and point out, well, that's the little apartment we used to live and for those 3 years. And I can tell they had a lot of good memory. And finally, they were able to live together. And
it was making
they
money.
Have a reasonable income, mm-hmm. and they were not any burden, and no kids yet, and so they were able to go to like a party and once a week, and they were young, mm-hmm. and then my father was just a graduate, and that was pretty rare at the time, and a college graduate coming to a city like that, and so they had a very good year for the few years.
Right. Yeah. Sounded good.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about your mother's family?
So my father and my mother's family was more of doing a business and or retailing, and it's a big family, and she had 3 sisters and 3 brothers, okay? And it was not very rich, but using today's standard, by the time, and they have a shop, and that was pretty big deal, and back to late 40s or early 50s, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, and when the during the transition from 1949 to 1950s, because that they're working so hard that they have and a piece of property and business, they were labeled as enemy of the people, mm-hmm. just like my father's family.
Right.
As I just mentioned, my mother, just like most other Chinese women, and could not receive any reasonable education, and they could not go to school at all, and they just stay home to help my grandfather, mm-hmm. and while every one of her brother, all 3 of them, went to school, and the biggest one went to college, and so she still remembers early days, and it was really enviable. Her brothers was able to go out for school and they come back, and they just know more and more and more and more, but they, especially my mother, had such a close relationship with her brothers, mm-hmm. and every summer when her brother come back for summer and to help family, and right. they taught a lot. So those early teachings from her brother, not from her father, not from her school, it really made a huge difference for the later part of her life.
Right.
If not for that, she would be just staying at home just like every other woman's. Because and she married with my father just before the chaotic transition, and all of a sudden, both her family and my father's family lost all the properties, and just almost like not much better than homeless, mm-hmm. and then all the family just pretty much just gone at that point, and so that made a big difference to her. Is that by the encouragement of her brother, and she realized that she has to try to get some job to support herself, mm-hmm. and then she went out looking for a job and found one in a small bank, and not only that made a huge difference on her, but also made a huge difference on myself and my 2 sisters, because from early on she'd been teaching us to be independent, to working hard to make your own living, mm-hmm. to hear that from your father, it's not too unique, but to hear that kind of education or that kind of teaching from your mother, that's pretty rare, because traditionally Chinese women, they don't go out to work. They don't go out to work, and so they just want to make sure you're healthy, you're happy. They don't really teach you a lot,
right.
to working hard, to studying hard, and to pursue your career. Mm-hmm. So that had a lot of influence on me.
That's interesting.
And my sister as well. And because she really learned in a good way and hard ways. If not for her brother, she would not be able to get this job. But if not for the revolution change, and she probably just stay home as housewife. Yeah.
Right. Hmm. Okay.
So just like my father's family, and after 1949 and 1950s, and her part of family also just lost all those properties, and her brother actually ended up in the labor camp as well later.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
The one who went to college.
Yeah, the one who went to college, and even worse, my father was at least studying forest. That's pretty technical.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle was studying law, so that really get him into trouble. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask if you had sisters or brothers. You have two sisters then?
Yeah,
no,
I have
brothers.
Two younger sisters.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do they do?
Right now?
Right.
Okay. So one is San Diego chemist.
Oh.
Yeah. And she graduated from UC Irvine and got her PhD in organic chemical synthesis. And I have another younger sister right now in China, and she's a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my family have five of us.
Oh. Yeah. So where does she teach?
In high school in a city in China called Shenzhen, teaching English in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
And how are the three of you related? In other words, who's the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
And my sister in San Diego is young. The second one, she's 7 years younger than I am, and the other one in China is 9 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how did you get along with your sisters?
And the part of the reason you realize probably, I'm 7 years old than my. Yeah, 7 years old than my second sister, in San Diego. It's
right.
Probably because that was because my father and my mother were separate.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they were living together.
So they have another child. She's born in 65.
Yeah, right? And only after 1964 when they really lived together, and then they had my second sisters.
Right. Sort of pick up again and continue
again.
Their family life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, my sister and I had a very close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think a lot was influenced by the close relationship between my mother and her brothers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that both of the sisters or just the
both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were growing up, what was the relationship you had with your sisters? I mean, did you... Okay, if you could talk a little bit about your sisters.
Yeah. I'm having a very close relationship with my both sisters. And very early on, when they were little, that was pretty much as... I was like a babysitter
mm-hmm.
for them. And when they grew up, and they're really looking up me. I was their teacher for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And after I graduated from high school, I went back to where my parents lived and working in the farm for 5 years before I was able to apply for college. So we come back to later in the point. And so I did all kinds of jobs. I worked in the farm and also teach in the high school, middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school for 2.5 years. So I was my sister's teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you say teacher, you mean her real teacher,
real teacher
in the classroom?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, real mm-hmm. teacher.
Yeah. Okay. In what other ways was your relationship close with your sisters?
Okay. At the beginning, was and the more of they listen to me and they respect me and they look up to me and they just try to follow my example. Because mm-hmm. I, especially after 1978, and when the country was finally and out of this chaotic situation led by and the Mao Zedong, the country tried to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of things was the reopening of college and the university, which was completely shut down during the 10 years of Cultural Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, 1977, and the country was for the first time in 10 years, they reopened the college and university, allowed the kids to young men and women to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were accepted, admitted, and by examination. And that was not happening for 10 years. And for the first time we realized we actually could go to college. And so I got in 1978, and that was a huge deal to my family. To right. finally realize, and politically, they could have a normal life. Then they are to start changing from the enemy of the people, become like normal people.
Right.
And my father wrote a memo, I remember, and in that memo, as well as many of his conversation, the 1978 was a big turning point for the whole family.
Right.
And one of the major things happening in 1978, I was able to go to college. And to them, that was really a turning point of the whole life.
That had a big influence on your sisters.
A huge one. Mm. Because now they realize, I was young, they probably not fully appreciate, but then just looking around in the whole farm, in the whole village, I was the only one got into the college.
Wow.
And before that point, I was not even allowed to apply. And the world finally things happened during the 10 years of Cultural Revolution from 1966, when the university and the college was first shut down, to 1977. And the first 7 years, the whole university was shut down, nobody can go anyway. But then in the last 3 years, and from 73, 74, 75, they reopened the universities. But you can only go there upon recommendation,
right.
not by taking exam. The recommendation was funny. You recommend by the people you're working with. Mm-hmm. Those people, they're working on the farm. They say, yeah, this is a good kid. They should go to college. I don't know how I'm going to explain this in the future to my daughter.
Right.
But it's unbelievable. Right. So my chance to go to college and get a recommendation by the workers was out of questions, and right. because of my family.
Right.
Yeah. So that's out of questions. Yeah, and so after 78, and then realized, well, now things seem to be turning around, and I could go to college, and it's a huge deal for my family, and it's also a huge surprise and for the village. They said, wait a minute, and
yeah.
how can the kids of from this enemy of the people and go to college? You know, why can my kids go there?
Yeah.
I mean, why would the people need to take an exam and go to college? So they just feel very, very surprised that people can go to college by taking exam.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And when we get a little bit further along into your education, too, that'd be interesting to talk a little bit more
yeah.
about that transition, because that sounds fascinating. It was not only for your family, too, an amazing transition, but for the entire country, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit chronologically and talk a little bit about your early schooling, sort of elementary yeah. school.
My first couple of years, and was taken care of by my grandma, my mother's mother,
mm-hmm.
and she died, and when I was between 2 or 3 years old, okay, and I don't remember much at all about her. And after that point, and my mother was practically a single mother taking care of me, while my father was separated from her, and from 1958 all the way to 1962, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Luckily, I was in this county government, the county and the government, and they had this daycare center. The daycare center was not common in China in those days at all. So I was lucky, I was able to attend one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to receive some early educations, and was pretty reasonable, and compared with a lot of kids, and 90% live in the countryside, they couldn't go to any early daycare or the preschool at all. So that part actually had a lot of good things happen to me. And I was able to go to daycare and the preschools and learn something early on
mm.
while my mother and went to work.
So why do you think you were allowed to do that? Are you
That's partly because I was separating from my father
mm.
and my mother herself. And she was very poor when she married with my father. So she herself was not labeled as an enemy of a country.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she was label different from my father. So the country was still and implement this policy that if you are the one guilty and you are the one should be punished, not your family, to try not to associate, but not complete way. And so in that way, to my mother, and once she was separate from my father in living, and she working very hard, and the government still treated her as herself, not as wife of my father.
Right.
Right. And so she was still receiving a normal treatment, and together with the fact that she works very hard and she performed better than a lot of her colleagues at that time and the co-workers, And she had a few good years, and after this bad year and being separate or forced being separate and from my father, and so when she was alone for those few years, and she did pretty good on her job, mm-hmm. and there was and had a lot of good friends, and so I was able to just go to this daycare and just like every other kids in the city council, I guess that's what it's called,
right?
Yeah, and so that actually was different, and made for me and from a lot of other kids in the countryside couldn't find a school like that to attend.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you like school?
I don't remember a whole lot of the preschools, but and I don't remember anything bad. It was if I remember anything specific, and it was pretty happy days mm-hmm. for me. Yeah. And then according to mother, I was a wild boy and was running around. Was pretty smart in the class. But and the one thing she keep on telling me is I was very competitive when I was young.
Really?
I don't know if she made up or not or right now, but she keep on telling me how competitive I was. And for example, she said and they actually award kids come on time and early on. And my mother said I was always trying to get up earlier and go to school, try to be the first one in the school instead right. of stay home. She said and a couple of times I was not be the first one, I was pretty upset. Yeah, so I don't remember a lot of details, but and from what my mother said, and that was not bad, mm-hmm. except I just never remember anything about my father.
Yeah,
and he was allowed later, and I think was 60, and they come to visit my mother once a year, and later when the condition was a little relaxed, and maybe twice a year, each time for like up to a week, and I don't remember anything about him.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, for a week then you could see your father.
And my father came to visit us.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and brought some food because he was working in the farm.
Right.
And himself. And they will be able to and allow to grow something like vegetables or yams. And he brought some with him when he came to visit us.
Oh, yeah.
And in those difficult years, and that actually means a lot because nobody can have enough food. My mother says, and I ate a lot when I was growing up, the allowance is very limited and for everybody, and
right.
so it was never enough for me, and so she has to just keep on let me eat and her part for that, and she never had enough food
yeah.
and herself, and developed this disease of and the nutrition deficiency,
yeah, which was common. I mean, the Great Leap Forward.
Oh,
one of the problems
common.
Was that
yeah, very common. The people hunger. Was like half was hungry all the time.
Yeah,
was just not enough food. For anybody to eat,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and especially my mother. There's just nothing you can do about this,
yeah.
because they stay in the government and there are very strict rules. You can't go any, you cannot go anywhere to grow something yourself. You cannot go out and buy anything yourself because that's against the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you can do is just eat whatever you are rationing.
Right.
And it was never enough for her to begin with.
So rationing was common then at that point.
It's only thing you're allowed.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's only thing you have. Was not even enough for herself, and not mention that. And I was eating twice as much. I was allowed. I was given.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. she suffered this nutrition deficiency for about 3 years.
Yeah. Wow. So you're going to school. You're getting there earlier than all the other students. Did you have many friends? What were your interests at that time?
I don't remember the early days, and
no.
I was pretty good to making friends, and my mother always said, and even early on, and I had a lot of good friends, pretty close friends, and even was when I was little, and the one of the things is, and I my mother always said, and when we finally get a chance to buy some candies or cookies to home, and so I would be so so good to my friend, and so I would have brought them just open the candy so they finish
oh, yeah.
in one bite.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't remember this, but my mother said, and when my father came to visit her, with us, and brought some peanuts,
mm-hmm.
and he grew up and himself, and that was pretty rare at the time. And I was so happy, just brought all my friends.
Wow.
Yeah. So the kids, I guess, must be happy.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
They probably like you
yeah.
quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're about six, which I guess is, what, 1964?
Yeah.
Your father has returned.
Yeah. Right, so after, I think it was 1963 or 64, I don't know exactly what time, the country got back to a little bit more normal after 3 years of disaster across the country.
Right.
My father was, how they put that one, he was technically not in the prison, but he was called being released from the farm. So it was half prison, half the farm work. So it's not like a typical prison and you were sentenced for how many years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a normal job either. Right? But after 63, by 1963 or early 64, and he, I presume it was completed, whatever you call it, it's not sentenced, but the punishment or whatever. Okay, and so he was allowed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked to, well, he was not back to her his job anymore. And so he was sent to a farm and outside Nanchang City, in the pretty rural country.
Mm-hmm.
But he was allowed to reunite with my mother. So my mother giving up and her job and in the county and the government as an accountant, they moved in with my father. And then three of us, my father, my mother, and myself, then we moved to a new place called a Nanfu Farm, where I lived for quite some years. It's a farm and in the rural country called Nanhu, N-A-N-H-U. Yeah, I had a lot of memory and for that place. So I grew up pretty much in that place. That is where I actually remember something.
Right.
That was 4.5 or 5 when I first moved there. And I left in 1978 when I went to college.
Wow, you spent a long time.
Yeah, so that's the place I really grew up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was it like growing up there? What do you remember?
Yeah, it's pretty rural country areas. And when we first got there, and I actually remember a little bit, and boy, and it's all woods. It's a pretty rural the place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a farm, and they start farming in the areas, and they have a department and from university, from agriculture university, and they're sitting there. So by that association, and we are associated with some kind of educated people, or intellectual peoples. And so that was separate from the really, the truly rural country, that you don't see any outside the world. You never know anything about the education or intellectual, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that part, and we were associated and with a relatively intellectually or educational environment better than some other countryside kids. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so that's the environment actually I grew up.
Now, was that accidental or did your father just, did he just happen to find a job there or did he seek a job there?
Yeah, he asked for.
Okay,
he asked for. Because the farm he was sent to and from 58 to 61 was a farm associated with this place called the Jiangxi Agricultural University.
Mm-hmm.
It's a farm. But for the agriculture university, the student need a farm for their study.
Right.
So that's a farm where my father was sent to, and or was digged out from this hard labor and the camp into this place. So when he was released, he asked him that to go to another farm and also associate with the university, but it's more rural areas.
Right.
And so that's and he was permitted and to go that place. And the good thing is in that one, and there are and some students and the college student and some teachers. So that actually was a pretty good environment as far as my grew up and my education is concerned.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
When he returns, you say he worked on a farm. Did he have any tie to the university as well, though?
Not really.
No.
And he was never allowed to go back to teach.
Yeah.
And it was not until 1979. And he was asking, well, and do you want to go back to classroom to teach again? Then he said, well, what can I teach them now? I mean, there's nothing I remember. It's all forgotten.
Right.
So I might just retire now.
Yeah.
No, he was never able to go back to teaching. And after he was stripped of his job in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And but he did doing some technical work. And when he was in the farm, for example, they tried to build up this big dam and to along the lake to create some field for growing like rice. And because he studied in the forest, and he know how to design things like that, and so that's the part. And he was able to use in something he learned
right.
in his college years, And so that was considered technique. So that actually made him feel pretty good for a few years until 1967 when the Cultural Revolution started.
Right.
Then the whole country and the whole family became chaotic again.
Okay.
Yeah. So from 1964 to early 67, and I think they had two or three years of good life again.
Right.
Well, relatively speaking.
Relatively good.
So that time they had my first sister.
Right. Okay. Let me turn over the tape.
Okay.